This morning I want to share with you about praying what God wants us to pray. Now, we all pray, and we all have different levels of prayer, and but sometimes we're not really sure how we should be praying, how God is really wanting us to pray about some things. And so I'd like to share with you about that here this morning. I'm going to be reading from Ephesians 3, verses 12 to 20, and we're going to take that as our text to look at how we can pray what God's wanting us to pray. Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Father, we just ask for Your blessing here on Your word this morning. Thank You, Lord, for all Your people that have come out here today. And we just pray that, Lord, that indeed You will speak to us, and that You will help us in our prayer life, that, Lord, we might draw closer to You, and that, Lord, we might begin to pray and plead and cry out for those things that Your heart is crying out. So, Lord, we're asking, grant us Your heart for the things that are going on in our world right now and even in our own lives, that, Lord, we might pray accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning I want to share with you about praying what God would want us to pray. All prayer is profitable. All prayer is good. And all of us know that God wants us to pray. But sometimes in our prayers, we kind of end up focusing on all the things that concern us. And we pray about the things that concern us. And that's okay. God does tell us to be praying about those things that concern us. He talks to us about praying for our daily bread. Those things are all important. But sometimes we need to kind of take a step back and look to the Lord and say, God, what do You want me to be praying for? And as we're coming into this fall season, we've been asking the Lord that, Lord, what do You want us to really be praying for? And we're believing harvest is one of those words that we're to really press in for. And we're trying to be sensitive. And as we gather as a church to pray, it's really been a blessing this past year to have so many people that have come out and pray. And even through our summer, we've never did programs through the summer. We usually take those summers off because of the camp services that we have here and because people go off on vacations and so forth and give people a break. But this year we've had everyone wanted to continue in prayer. And I kind of thought that was quite amazing. And really appreciate those folks that have been coming out on the Wednesday night, Thursday nights, those that have been joining other groups and praying. We do appreciate all the prayers that God's people have been praying. And so we're seeing that there is a response already, that a number of us are getting together and we are praying and calling on the Lord. And we do want to see God touch our community. We do want to see God touch our church and the people that are around us. And the Bible says if we will humble ourselves and pray, we are going to see some results. And so that's what we're looking for. Now, I know when it comes to prayer, it's easy to say, it's easy to agree with, yes, let's pray. But actually taking that time to pray is sometimes a little bit more on the difficult side. Sometimes our busyness often interferes with our plans to pray. So we've really got to work at, to that commitment to pray unto the Lord. And, busyness, yes, it does affect us. But we need to work through our busyness to make sure that we are praying, that we are taking those times to seek the Lord. And so prayer is something that we value here at our church. And we believe that God is calling us together as a church to pray for the needs of our church, the needs of our community, our region, and our nation. And I can tell you those prayers are making a difference. When you're the pastor of the church, you end up seeing more things than what everyone else sees. And you also hear a lot more than what a lot of other people hear. And I can testify that there's a lot of prayers that are being answered right now. And there's been some really good responses in our prayer times that I'm seeing. And I believe that's overflowing even in our Sunday morning services there well. And again, I just want to encourage you to keep on praying. Because those prayers are working, and we want to see God do more. And there's lots of more to be done. Now, when we talk about prayer, talk about revival, I was having a conversation with a person this week, and they were sharing about the frustration of praying for revival. And they said, you know, it's easy to agree to pray for revival. It's easy to feel that burden to pray for revival, to pray for God to move. But my, is it ever hard to actually do it? Because there's just so many activities that we all have. And it's so hard to get back to that place where we really place an importance on prayer. And, you know, I think that's something we all got to work at. And to get back to that place where prayer becomes really something that we really stick with, hold on to, and make sure that we have time to do. Now, in the scriptures, the Apostle Paul, amongst many of the authors in the Bible, gives us some great ideas about how to pray and what we should be praying about. And this passage that we just read here in Ephesians really serves as an appropriate prayer for spiritual growth. And I think it's a great prayer for us to look at that it might encourage us. How do we pray God's heart? Well, I think God's heart is being explained to us right here in this passage of Scripture. And it's something that we can focus on for ourselves and also for those around us. And so that's where we're going to go here this morning, just really looking at that passage and just going through some of the things that we can be praying about. And the first area that we are encouraged to be in the area of prayer is to pray to our Father in heaven. And we need to recognize that we do have a heavenly Father that loves us, that cares about us, and who wants us to come to Him in prayer. You know, praying for more, going to the right person, going to that top person, to our heavenly Father. Ephesians 3, 14, 15 says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. You know, it's kind of interesting, but we see that in life. If you want to see things get done, don't mess around with the middleman. Go to the top man, and you get things done a whole lot faster. Well, that's kind of what it's saying here. Go to your heavenly Father. Call on your heavenly Father. He is listening to you. He is listening to your voice. And as we come before Him, it's an important thing to recognize that He is our Heavenly Father. He's not our old man. And so as we come before Him, obviously there's some respect that needs to be there. But He's wanting to tell us that you're welcomed. You are welcome to come to the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings. You have a privilege that you can call on Him and bring all of your needs to His attention. And so that's quite important. And the other part there I see as well, that the aspect of being a father, that we can come to and call Him Abba, Father. It's like a child, you know, coming to his father. And that approach can be, really lead to an intimacy with a father, a closeness, and also an expectation as a child of God, because we're coming as His children. And as we come as His children, what father is not going to be listening to his child when he's coming to him and giving him a request? He's going to be listening, and he's going to want to bless us. So as we come before our Father, obviously we need to recognize who He is. We reverence Him. We acknowledge that He is the creator of all things and all of heaven and all of earth. He is a big God. but he's also a good father that is approachable, that is welcoming to us, that will hear us, that will listen to us. And all that's possible because of the work of Jesus Christ dying for our sins on the cross, paying the price for our sin, which was death, that our relationship can be restored with our Heavenly Father. So that's a beautiful thing. And it tells us that in Ephesians 3:12, because of Christ and our faith in him, we now can come boldly and confidently into God's presence. That's quite amazing. That we can come before our God with a confidence, knowing that we will get an audience and that he will hear us as we pray. Now, it's interesting that this way of prayer is also encouraged by Jesus himself, as when the disciples asked Jesus, well, teach us how to pray. And we have the Lord's Prayer, and I'm reading it from the New Living Translation, just the first part. It says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so Jesus is reminding us as well, you have a Father, a Heavenly Father that loves you, that cares about you, that you have a right as a child of God to come boldly into his presence and ask whatever is on your heart. And so that's a good thing to know. And the good thing to remind ourselves is that there's favor there as we come before our Heavenly Father as his children. And then secondly, we're encouraged, pray for power, greater strength in our lives, believing that he is able to meet all of our needs. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. And, you know, we need to, again, remind ourselves, we serve the Almighty God. We serve the all-powerful God. We serve the Supreme One of all of heaven and all of earth. There is no one greater than he. He has unlimited power and resources to help us in our time of need and to strengthen us through everything that we go through in life. We just need to look to him for help. And so our Heavenly Father wants to empower us. He's fully able to empower us. Again, he's a big God. He's the King of all kings. He's the person all authority has been given to him. And so Scripture encourages us many times that, you know, our faith is in a good place because our faith is in a wonderful and amazing God. And so we need to let that faith rise up within us to believe that God is able to bring those things to pass. Psalm 24, I think the psalmist was thinking of that. And he says, who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, invincible in battle. Open up ancient gates. Open up ancient doors. Let the King of glory enter. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of heaven's armies. He is the King of glory. So again, we're being reminded that we serve a great and a mighty God. He is King of all the armies of heaven. So no one can even come close to him. The Bible refers to him as the invincible one. In other words, there's no one that can compare to him. There's no one greater. There's no one that can defeat him. He is the champion of all champions. That's our God and whom we call and who we can call on. And so it should help us to believe for more, to believe for more that God is able to bring those things that we are needing in our lives. So it should be, you know, an inspiration here that God can strengthen me, God can help me, God can empower me to do whatever I need to do right now, even though maybe I'm not feeling it. Because you serve the great Almighty God. I think of when you think of strength and power, Isaiah 40 should come to our minds. And I like how it starts because it's asking us the question, like, it's almost like, do you believe or not? It says, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. As we wait upon the Lord, as we trust in the Lord, as we seek the Lord, as we pray, there is a new strength, a new confidence, a new power that grows in our lives that helps us rise above all the circumstances that we're facing and helps us to soar as if those things aren't even affecting us anymore. There is power in prayer. There is power waiting and trusting in the Lord. And so if we're needing strength today, if we're needing to feel some power today, if we're needing to feel some boldness today, look to the Lord, the Almighty God, that is able to help us in our time of need. Then third is we are to pray that our hearts would be open to Jesus and that Jesus will be welcome to make his home in our hearts and our lives. Basically, we are inviting Jesus to take up residence in our hearts and in our life. You know, if you ask the world out there today, do you pray? You would probably find that the majority of people would say, yes, I do pray. But do you know who you're praying to? Do you know the God that you're trying to pray to? And so this scripture is telling us you want to get to that place where you know who Jesus is and that you welcome Jesus into your heart, that Jesus makes his home inside of you. Ephesians 3:17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So it's important as we pray that we're inviting Jesus into our hearts, that we're professing that we do believe in him and that we're welcoming him to be our Lord and our Savior, our Master, and to take rulership of our lives. You know, that's what it really is to open up your heart to Jesus Christ. That's what it really is to say, well, do you believe in Jesus or not? Well, you're just, if it's just a word to you, you're not going to get very far in prayer. But when you get to that place where you say, Jesus, come into my life. I want you into my heart. I want to make your home to be right here. And when you do that, that immediately impacts your prayer life. Makes a huge difference and your prayer life. So you're not just to believe in Jesus, but you're to seek a relationship with Jesus and welcome him into your heart that it might be his home in your life. And that's kind of what it really means when we're asking you, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ into your life? And so as you do that, well, you're talking about rulership. You're talking about changing the resident that's inside of you, of your spiritual house. And that now Jesus is becoming that new resident in your house. And now that you're choosing to follow and serve after him. And so that's what you're doing. You're telling that old devil, time to get out. I'm kicking you out. I don't want you in my house anymore. I'm kicking you out. And I'm inviting Jesus to come in and rule and reign in my house. Yeah. You know, Matthew 22, the first commandment, it says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. See that heart issue again. All your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't done that already, welcome Jesus into your heart. Welcome Jesus to take up residence in your heart. Welcome Jesus to make your heart his home in your life. And to love the Lord with everything that you have. And as you do that, my friend, there'll be love, there'll be joy, there'll be peace, there'll be strength, there'll be confidence that you have that you've never had before, especially as you pray. So stay close to Jesus. Trust in him, and you'll find your prayer life will increase in every way. And so may our hearts be open to Jesus and getting to that place, say, Lord, I want this to be your home. And Lord, while you're in this spiritual house, feel free to do some cleaning because there's probably some areas in there that need to be cleaned out. And Lord, I'm asking you into all of my heart, not just to be some of me. I want all of you, Jesus, to come into my life and into my heart today. Then fourthly, we're encouraged to pray for understanding, wisdom, knowledge, comprehension, Ephesians 3:18. And may you have the power to understand. You know, sometimes life can be difficult, can be hard. Sometimes in life, even as Christians, we ask that famous question, why? God, I don't understand. God, why did this happen? Why am I going through what I'm going through? And sometimes those things happen in our lives, and it's okay to question and wonder and ask God about those things of what's really going on. So to have the mind of Christ, to understand what he's thinking, to understand and see what he is seeing, because sometimes, you know, we don't see that there's a plan. God has a plan. He always has a plan. But sometimes we're unaware of that plan, or sometimes we're so occupied with what we're going through that we're not seeing the plan that God's trying to unveil before us. And so it's a good thing to say, God, I need understanding. Lord, I need a greater understanding in my life. I need to have the mind of Christ. I need to have that insight that's beyond my own human understanding that I might understand the things that God is doing. Now, of course, that involves some trust. That we need to trust God and not lean on our own understanding. That's what the Bible says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. In life, you will find that sometimes you're not sure where should I go, what direction should I go. But if we will trust in the Lord and look to him and seek him, he will guide us along that right path. That's what he does. So having wisdom and understanding in the natural, that's good. We need that. We need some more common sense, actually, in our world today. But we need more than that. We need the wisdom and the understanding that comes from God. And I really believe there are some new insights that God is wanting to reveal to us that are going to help us through the situations in life, the things that are going on in our world right now, and that will help us to make good choices. Now, there's just something about that when God's people are seeking the understanding of God. God, what's your will in this situation? God, what are you trying to show me? It's good to be praying those kinds of things. And, you know, because sometimes in life, you might find that you go through things that you don't understand at all, or it doesn't even make sense to you. And that's where we really need to press into God and say, God, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm really struggling with this, and I'm not seeing anything about you right now. I'm not making sense of what's happening in my life right now. I'm looking to you, God. Grant me that understanding. Ephesians 5, 16 to 17 says, make the most of every opportunity in these days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. It's very important for us to seek the understanding of what God wants us to do. So what is God wanting you to do right now? You know, you'll find that out as you pray, as you seek the Lord, as you look to him for guidance and for help. He will answer you. Just as we said earlier, and we sang in that song, he hears you. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And it goes on to say, I sought the Lord, and he also answered me as well. Friends, there is some understanding that we all can receive as we ask the Lord in prayer. Fifth area to include in our praying is to pray to experience Christ's love for us and Christ's love for others. You know, we need to realize that God wants to reveal to us more and more the love of God. He's wanting to reveal his love more and more, not just to us, but to all of society, to all of the world. Ephesians 3, 18 to 19 says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. See, it's another reminder that there's always more with God. I was listening to a person share a story this summer, and they're thinking about coming back to church. I'm not sure if they got there or not. But they were thinking that, you know, in my life, I've been to church, I've done this, I've done that, and I started calculating my hours that I spent doing things for God. And anyway, they came up with this pretty good number of how many hours they spent serving God. And they kind of said, you know what, I think that's enough. That's enough. My friend, is never enough, because God always has more. Always has more. His love is more. It is wide enough to reach the whole world. His love is long enough to stretch from the beginning of our lives through to all eternity. His love is high enough to reach the highest heavens, the greatest expanses of space, deep enough to rescue us from the darkest pits of sin and hell. That's how great his love is. And he desires to touch everyone with his love. And I personally believe that there is going to be a fresh outpouring of his love to touch everyone in our world. Because God loves us. He really does. And he wants to pour out that love on us more and more and more and more. Romans 8, beautiful passage of scripture talking of the love of God. And it says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will be ever able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you, even when you're bad. Even when you're not doing those things that you should be doing. God still loves you, and he will never stop loving you. That's a relationship we want to be involved with even more, to get to know his love, get to experience his love. You know, I was thinking back, some of you remember the Fords and the little girls. And one of the little girls one day, she came in and she showed me a picture she had drawn for me. And she was telling me, she said, I had this picture, a dream. And I saw God pouring out buckets of love over every home in Saddle Lake. They live right on the border of Saddle Lake. And that was coming towards the town. And God was taking a bucket and he was pouring love over every household that they might have experienced and know what it is to be loved by God. You know, I got thinking about that. And I said, you know what? I think that's going to happen. I think that's going to happen. I believe that's exactly what God wants. He wants to pour out his love. Pour out buckets of love. Splash us all. And hopefully there'll be a lot of people that'll respond to that and come to him and place their faith in him. But we need that. We really do. Maybe you're here today and say, you know what, Pastor, I could use that. I could use a nice bucket that someone could just throw over me of the love of God being poured out in my life. I need to know what that is again. So that's a good prayer to pray, not just for ourselves, but for everyone around us as well. And for our communities and for the people here. And then lastly, we're encouraged to pray and believe for more. Not to settle for less or to settle for the norm. And sometimes, you know, that's where a lot of people get comfortable in their Christian walk. Well, you know, most Christians do this. Well, that's great. They do this. God has more. And you're selling yourself short if you think, you know what, I'm satisfied with just doing these few basic things of Christianity. You don't want to go there, because if you really want to experience the more of God, you got to press into it, because he does have more. Listen to that verse 20 of Ephesians 3. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than what we might ask or think. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think or even imagine. And that verse has been very special to Judy and I throughout our years as we first entered into Alberta. That was a word that people came up to us in the church. They were sitting behind us, and they spoke that word over us, that that's going to be our future. And so I'm still holding God to that. And we've heard that many times again being spoken over us. But God has greater things yet to come. And I'm believing for that. I'm expecting that. So we need to be reminded, even in our prayers, that God has more. God has more. We sometimes limit God because we think God's only going to do this much or that much. He says, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you can think, what you can imagine, what's in your head. I can do way greater than that. So we need to be praying along those lines, letting faith rise up within us to believe for the greater things that God is wanting to do. I love the prophet Jeremiah, and he says this word. He said, "Then this message came to Jeremiah from the Lord." And it says, "I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me?" And sometimes in our own feeble minds, we convince ourselves that, yes, there's some things God's just not going to do. And he's saying to us, listen, you're thinking wrong. There's nothing too hard for me to do. That is what God says. And so that's how we need to be praying. And I realize that, you know, we all, you know, kind of fail in our areas of our faith. Sometimes our faith isn't where it really should be. So we need to be asking, this is a great prayer to pray, Lord, I'm praying for greater faith. I'm praying that I will start believing for the more of God, that I will stop settling for what I have and stop settling for what I see and other Christians, because I am wanting more. And that's what it needs to be. We really need to be praying that. Let faith arise. And I can tell you, even in this church, I see faith arising. We're seeing God do more right in our own midst. And even in our prayer meetings, sometimes I just kind of chuckle to myself. And I just kind of sit back and I let others. They just start to pray. And I think, man, they're more in the groove than I am tonight. Just let them go. And God is working through us. I can see that. We're believing for more. And we want to be on record and say, God, we want more. We want more. We want to see the more of God happen in this church, in this community, this region, in our nation. And so as we come to a close here this morning, I hope that something I said today is stirring you to move beyond just your regular prayer time, but that's going to help you to really step out, to really pray, to really seek the Lord. You know, praying that, you know, that relationship with our Heavenly Father. Do you think God is too distant away from you, that he's not close to you, that he's not going to listen to you? The Bible said he's your Heavenly Father. And Jesus has made a way where you can come boldly and confidently before him, that you're going to get a hearing. To pray for more power, to be more power in our lives. I think all of us need that, to have more power, to demonstrate more power of the Lord. I've been reading a book Maria Woodworth Eder, and it's just amazing the miracles this lady was performing. And I'm saying, Lord, okay, I need that kind of anointing. Man, I need that kind of empowerment in my life. That aspect too, as we pray, that we open up our hearts for Christ to be at home inside. Let Christ take up residence inside of us. And if you haven't done that, I'd really encourage you to pray that prayer today. And you know, we'll gladly pray with you at the end of this service, but you can do that right where you are. Say, Jesus, I welcome you to come into my life today. I want you to make your home inside of me today. Tell it makes a world of difference. Pray for greater understanding. Man, there's so many things going on in our world today, and you're trying to seek wisdom in all the things that are happening. And what do we need to do? We need to be praying, God, give me the understanding. Give me understanding to what's going on. Pray to experience the love of God in ourselves, but also in our world. There's a lot of people out there that don't know anything about Jesus anymore. For some of us, that's kind of a shock to us to realize, what? There can't be people that don't know Jesus today. There's all kinds of people that have never been in a church, never heard about Jesus except for a swear word. They don't know nothing about him. We keep thinking that everybody knows. No, they don't. The majority of our nation does not know Jesus. So let's be praying that people will fall, experience the love of Jesus in their lives. And then to believe, to pray, God, more. I want more. I want more. Your word tells me that you're able to do more than what I can think or more than what I can imagine. I always tell the Lord when I read that scripture, Lord, I have a great imagination. Man, it's really, really good. So this is a big task, but I'm asking for it. I want to see the things that are beyond what I can even imagine or even think. And that's who our God is. That's a God that wants to work in our lives. That's a God that we have the privilege to pray to this morning. So I just want to encourage you as we close here this morning, the musicians, if you would come back to the instruments, we want more. I sought the Lord. He's hearing you. Please understand that. I believe that's a word of the Lord for you today. He hears you. But more than that, he's also telling you that he's the God who answers. He's a God that's able to meet that need that you're praying about. He's a God that is able to turn around the circumstances and the situations, even when they seem hopeless and that there's not a chance that this ever could be turned around. You haven't talked to God yet. God can turn those things around.